Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, the Sharks lose in overtime because they can't put their best players on the ice by rule. Of course, we know in overtime you have to start by not playing your best players. So we'll discuss the Sharks' 3-2 overtime loss to the Red Wings. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at Fear the Fin for now at San Jose Hockey Now. I want to thank you for making Locked on Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can watch us on YouTube as well. And the Sharks, no, you know, they follow the rules provided by the NHL that says you cannot play your best players to start overtime, right? Timo Meier, Tomas Hertl, you can't put them on the ice to start an overtime game. And they lost 3-2 in overtime. So before we get into how crazy that sounds to me, I do want to let you know that today's episode is brought to you guys by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. How do you not play your best players to start overtime? Quinn on not using Hertl and Meier in overtime. We haven't been good in overtime forever, so we tried something different. We are way too much offensive minded in our 3v3 and 4v4 approach. What? The whole point of in overtime is to control the puck and score. This is the equivalent of saying, of like in the NFL, when you just go for the tie. Like, and you just try to run down over. No, you try to put your best players out there to try to win the game. You play to win the game. And I know the Sharks are not tanking, quote unquote. Maybe this is the brain galaxy move here, but you are paying Erik Karlsson $11.5 million. You just gave Tomas Hertl a brand new 8-year, 8.2, whatever his extension. You're paying him 64, 60. You're paying him a lot of money for the next 8 years. Timo Meier is your leading scorer. Why are these three guys? I don't care. I don't care if those three guys should be the first players on the ice every time you start overtime. Like, you go out swinging. Sugar, we're going down swinging. That is what you do. You go out with your best player. If their best beat your best, fine. And that's happened, right? Connor McDavid out there. If Connor McDavid beats you because he is better than everybody else out there, fine. But if you are not playing to win if you do not play your best players. This is nothing. Couture and Barabanov, they're fine. Perfectly cromulent, middle six guys. The name of the game in overtime is puck possession to try to score. And his maybe you can create good defensive position and force turnovers. You had to be good defensively. And guess what? They were bad on the draw. They got beat to their positions. They lost the game because nobody covered Andrew Kopp. That guy's a cop. What? So you went out, tried to play more defensive hockey out there, and you didn't even do that very well. If you lose and you're playing Erik Karlsson, Timo Meier, and Tomas Hertl as a start, and you lose with those guys, then at least you can say, what, you know, okay, we put our best players in position to succeed and they just weren't able to. It happens, right? Yeah, that's insane to me. I like what David Quinn has done for the most part. And I mean, there's every coach, right? You're going to disagree on some stuff. And again, David Quinn has forgotten more about hockey than I will ever know. I know that, right? Me sitting on my couch watching the game going, why is Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl your best players not out there to start overtime? Anyway, so before we continue to dig into this game, look at the numbers, see how Kevin LeBanc performed. Got to start with James Reimer tonight, who I thought was stellar tonight. 27 of 30 saves. Those, like the save percentage or whatever, like those numbers don't look, I don't think, don't paint the story for Eric Carl or for James Reimer. I thought he made some big time saves, and we've seen him start to piece together a few games right now in a row. So Boston game, good luck. I mean, I don't care who you had. The Sharks were not. If you could have had Dominic Hasek in his prime, and the Sharks are still going to lose that game just because of the inferior talent across the board. But tonight, I thought Reimer was absolutely stellar. 31 saves they gave him. 31 shots they gave him an extra save there. That's weird. His four high danger shots saved, made three, nine. Sharks did a good job of kind of limiting the Red Wings. 17 low danger, so they the defense really kind of helped him out tonight and really kind of helped make his life easier. But when he needed to make a big save, he made a few, and especially that third period, there was a ton of big saves. You know, I know they call him Berger, the rookie from Detroit, where he was wide open, all alone in the slot, and Reimer stopped, came up with a huge save. Even the save right in overtime, you know, Larkin on a breakaway, right? The save in overtime to even get to that next. I thought Reimer was amazing tonight, and it's good to see him kind of back into form after that injury kind of really derailed his season here. In the past couple of games, he's really strung together some solid performances, and I think that's going to really kind of help the Sharks maybe squeeze a little bit more out of the asset juice here before they trade him at the trade deadline. So a fully healthy James Reimer, you know, playing well behind a shaky defense core, not the most defensively sound forward group. And I mean, we've talked the Sharks team that is known to make catastrophic, mistakes. So it's not that they make a lot of mistakes. It's just when they do, it's like everything goes, it's always that like Murphy's Law. So when something bad can go happen with the Sharks, it just goes to like the ninth degree. And that's how they end up with pucks in net, their own net so many times. So before we get into the lines, look at how Kevin LeBanc performed in his first game back. Kind of see how the new shuffled lines look tonight. Do want to take a quick break, talk to you guys about our friends over at FanDuel. If you guys don't know by now, FanDuel, the best way to go, especially with the NFL playoffs here. We're excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, it's even better because they have so many great features that makes betting on sports fun and easy. New customers join today and get $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. If you're feeling the Niners this weekend, I love a Niners money line, Christian McCaffrey anytime touchdown. That feels like those two things are going to go together, right? Niners win. If Niners win, I think Christian McCaffrey is going to have a big game. So do all of this on an app that's safe, secure, easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet and get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, so Kevin LeBanc finally returned. We can stop asking, where's Kevin LeBanc? When Kevin LeBanc isn't on the ice, why are all the other players going, hey, where's Kevin LeBanc? And they wanted him to work on his, what's he doing when he doesn't have the puck, et cetera, et cetera. The LeBanc Hurdle Meyer line absolutely feasted tonight. Put LeBanc back with those guys and let those guys cook, because those are your best. That's your best line. 12:43 time on ice. They had 22 shot attempts. 22 shot attempts. They allowed six. Actual shots was 6-3. They did have a goal. Thank you, Timo Meier, as you continue to do Timo Meier things this year. 10 scoring chances for, 5 high danger chances for. Gave up 1 scoring chance and had 0. 7 defensive zone starts. Interesting there. Alexander Barabanov, Logan Couture, Michael Acemont, 7:51 time on ice, 12 shot attempts for, 4 allowed. Actual shots was 6-2, did have a goal. That Logan Couture goal at the end of the second period, where that was a total team effort of everyone just outworking who they were playing. Great job there, and they were rewarded. They worked very hard. They dominated that last minute. They held possession in there. They worked hard. They kept, winning puck battles, moving the puck around, shooting when you had a chance, and then gathering, retrieving, and continuing to get. That was a great goal, just because of how much work and effort went into that. And the Sharks were deserved of that goal right there. And honestly, in this game, they deserve to honestly probably win this game. If we'll get into some of the bigger numbers here in a second, but they were much better than the Red Wings tonight. But again, it's the catastrophic mistakes for them. So Lindblom, Lawrence Gregor, 8:04, 4 shot attempts, gave up 7. Actual shots was 3-3. 4 scoring chances, gave up 1 high danger chance, gave up 0. And then Nieto, Sturm, Bonino, 5:06, 3 shot attempts, 4, 4 allowed. Actual shots was 3-3, and did give up a goal as well. So, and they had mostly neutral zone starts for them. So, the way the Sharks honestly kind of dominated this game is at 5-on-5. Shot attempts, 58-38 in favor of the Sharks. Actual shots, 26-23. But again, that's the Sharks kind of controlling the pace, right? Scoring chances for 36-13. Not a big math guy, but that is 2-2-2-2. That is 3 times, right? Something like that. Almost 3 times. High danger chances, 17-5. Expected goals for 77.27 to 22.73. So the Sharks basically kind of dominated the majority of this game. The Red Wings came out, pushed for a little bit. Sharks kind of found their footing. Same thing kind of beginning of the first period, right? Red Wings kind of pushed for a little bit, and then the Sharks found their footing. And then, especially at the end of that, after that second Red Wings goal, it was kind of basically all Sharks, and they traded chances in the third period. But the Sharks were a much better team tonight, and they just, again, not covering your guys, the right guys on a face-off and overtime, leaving Andrew Kopp all alone. And that's kind of what led to you losing this game. So, if you had played your best players in overtime, you probably wouldn't be in that position anyway. But again, who's to say, right? Who's to say? For the defensive pairs, Erik Karlsson tonight continuing to just be Erik Karlsson. you know, a little quiet the last two games, right? Didn't have any points, but tonight you saw Erik Karlsson just back in form doing Erik Karlsson things. When he was on the ice, pull up his. So Erik Karlsson had a 67.92% Corsi 4. They had 36 shot attempts to 17 when he was on the ice. Him and Megna, of course, kind of led the way. Megna 36 and 16. And then we saw, you know, some of the other guys. So Vlasic, 10 to 12. So again, kind of getting outshot there, but we know Vlasic's not there to drive the offense. And he was the worst of, you know, Ferraro 11 to 12. So, okay, pretty even, right? Čičak was 9 to 9. I know the Čičak there, you feel bad because it's the goal that gave that they gave up there. Čičak needs to be a little bit more decisive, I'd say, with the, you know, he's trying to rim it around and stuff and hope your teammate makes a play, but it's not one of those like, hey, hope Nick Bonino makes a play here. You know, either eat the puck, at least maintain possession, maybe bring it around, but we saw what happened, right? Bonino wasn't able to kind of hold control. Boom. Next thing you know, Red Wing is in the back of the net, right? That's what we talk about with those catastrophic mistakes, right? Čičak, if he just holds the puck there and they kind of like eat it and he eats it and it's a board battle, again, like guys can get into position, right? And it doesn't lead into a Reimer trying to scramble to save a goal type of situation. So we'll see. But again, Čičak's played what, like a dozen NHL games? It's fine. Matt Benning, 14 shots for, 13 against. So again, just the comparison, right? Those were the other defensemen and Karlsson. When Karlsson was on the ice, the Sharks just dominated 36 to 17 with the shot attempts there. So yes, the Gregor Nieto Lawrence, like line, like I said, they were okay. So whatever you wanted, you're just trying to get energy out of those guys. So, before we continue, want to dive into Timo Meier a little bit more, seeing all the, where's Timo Meier going to go? Let's take a quick break, let you guys know about, our, of course, our Locked On Sports Today podcast. So thank you guys for making Locked On Sharks your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. For your second listen, go check out their Locked On Sports Today podcast. They got you covered with all the biggest news around sports. They got the take of the day. So you can go check that out wherever you get podcasts and, of course, on YouTube as well. All right, Timo Meier, who we're already starting to see the, like, trade, you know, where is he going to go? All that stuff. We have the going to allow him to explore, you know, and maybe work out a new deal before he gets traded, all that fun stuff. And this is all part of the process, right? We kind of went through the same thing with Tomas Hertl last year. And, you know, on last Friday's episode, I kind of laid out the point of why I think the Sharks are going to lose a Timo Meier trade. And quick recap is they're going to get a late first round pick. They're going to get an NHL ready prospect, but, you know, potentially, right? A high-end prospect type of thing, not like a, you know, blue chip, but they're going to get a guy who's probably really close to making the NHL and probably fits with the Eklund-Bordalo timeline. But, you know, and then you don't have to pay Timo Meier, but you're going to save a little bit of money. You know, you'll get $6 million off your books going into next year. But are any of those guys going to be as good as Timo Meier? Probably not. That's my thing. So yes, I know Timo Meier is 26, he'll be 27. You're going to be paying 8 years for Timo Meier. And granted, I know that probably the last 3 years probably be overpaid, but I still think the next 4 to 5 years, you're going to get market value for Timo Meier. You're probably going to get 2 to 3 really amazing years like we're now. And then hopefully you see a kind of a gradual decline with him. But you know, I think this is all just kind of part of the process with Timo Meier. So you're going to see all the kind of the big teams that are, you know, popping up right now. Like the Rangers makes a lot of sense, right? Team that could add some more scoring. The Islanders, team that is fighting to get in the playoffs right now and desperately need scoring. And, you know, Timo Meier could kind of jump in right there and help a team like that. So the Devils, a very young team kind of on the rise right now. Their offense is amazing. But again, you can we see in the playoffs, right? How often do some of these young guys, when you get to the playoffs and you start playing a team that's able to adjust to you night in and night out and kind of game plan for you more specifically, what happens to these young guys, right? We see it all the time where they get that first taste of playoffs. And, you know, we've watched plenty of Sharks hockey playoffs games back in the glory days, but you see those teams where, you know, you get that first taste of it and all these guys are good, but when it gets to the playoffs, it's just a different intensity, a different animal. You have Timo Meier, who's been through playoff series and been, you know, been part of a major piece in these playoffs. So, guy like Timo Meier to there who can kind of help lead the way that with that and kind of been there and be that type of guy for one of those teams. Or, you know, like I talked to our buddy, Dane Stars. You know, adding another guy like Timo to a team like that, who is kind of all got a lot of veteran guys who are, you know, kind of this might be one of your last chances type of thing. But we're going to see a lot of this now. And, you know, it's going to be, I still think right now, if you ask me, I'm 60-40 that he gets traded. So I'm slightly leaning that he gets traded. The Sharks fan in me rooting for him to stay, because I think Timo Meier is a great player that you have drafted, developed, and you're reaping the benefits now of it. And I mean, if the Sharks really wanted to, they could just not trade him, sign him to a one-year qualifying offer, and then play this game all over next year. I don't think that's the smartest move, but, and you might kind of upset your player, and then plus you're pushing back that extension by another year. But I still think, though, with Timo Meier, like, he is producing, because we've seen with Timo Meier, with he would be very, very streaky, right? We'd see goals in bunches and then, you know, kind of cool off for 5, 6, 7, 8 types of games. And that's not the case with Timo. That my kind of one of the things I'm most impressed with him is how consistent he's been. And I know the beginning of the year was not good, right? He went 8-9 games without scoring a goal. But the past few games, so the scoring log this year, right? It's a lot of ones and, you know, goal, you know, type of thing, where it's, we're not seeing the like massive, you know, 3, 4, 5 goal games that we saw from Timo last year, but it's more of a just that consistent diet of producing every night. And I think that's kind of that next step for a guy of, yes, if you need, you know, we've seen Timo Meier score 2-3 goals plenty of times, but being that guy you can produce every night in, night out, I think that's harder to find. Believe me, watching Timo Meier score 5 goals is one of those things I'll never forget, you know, watching him score a hat trick. But again, being that guy right now who can produce night in and night out for you on a bad team. So imagine when you start adding some more talent around Timo Meier, and he doesn't have to do it all. That's my kind of thing with him right now, is just how much he's done to kind of add to be more, I guess, consistent, right? So he scored tonight, last game against Boston. Of course, I got shut out. We go goal and assist, no points against Edmonton. Goal and assist, no points against Boston. Excuse me. 2 goals, 1 goal, no points when they lost to Dallas. An assist, a loss to Philly. 2 goals, goal and assist. Like, you get what I'm saying? Where it's just like, it's night in, night out. Timo Meier is getting on the score sheet. And I think that's what makes him, because you know you can have the outburst of anytime Timo Meier is just kind of feeling it that night, you could be on a hat trick type of situation. But the way he has been so consistent this year of producing points, and it's mostly goals, which is fine. He gets paid to put the puck in the net. But finding a guy like that where it's night in, night out, he is providing you offense And rarely do we see Timo Meier just kind of have a bad night. I know it's a contract year, all that stuff, and I don't expect this type of consistent production going forward, but if he can be like this type of guy for the next few years, that's what makes him worth the money, is just that night in, night out consistency of not just like the, okay, I'm going to go on a bender and score, 8 points in 6 games, and then I'm going to be quiet for the next 5 games. It's the, I'd rather have, over those, that 13 game stretch, whatever, give me the 11 points where you're going night in, night out, and you're helping your team, type of win. Cool. If you score 4 points in a game and the Sharks win, 7-2, great. That's awesome, right? But then you go quiet for the next 5 games. Are you helping your team win? But if you're scoring points every game, if you have a goal and assist or an assist or 2 points or whatever, you're doing that night in, night out, that's where the real value lies. So we'll see as we continue to get closer to the trade deadline, kind of look at where, as teams kind of rise up and the cream rises to the top, we'll try to put together some of the best realistic trade packages, kind of look at some of the trade packages that are out there, try to put our GM hat on and see, do we want to sign Timo Meier, or would we rather have this trade package? And then where does the team kind of go from there? So that's going to do it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, most likely with our first draft profile. If it's not tomorrow, it'll be on Friday. Basically, we're going to do prospect check-in because we haven't done one in a while. So we're going to go through all the non-Barracuda prospects, see how their season's going. And then we're going to have a draft profile as well this week. So good stuff here as we're kind of, getting into the grind here of this season, getting ready to hit the All-Star break. And then once we hit the All-Star break, it'll be a lot of draft profiles and trade talks of all that fun stuff. The fun things that you guys like to talk, roster construction, all that fun stuff. So make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. You can listen, of course, wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. You can watch on YouTube. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Locked On Sharks. And until tomorrow, bye, friends.